This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
What do we always say?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They've almost self-loathed themselves into this final.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Roger Bennett back here on the program.
They will play a quite daunting Spain. And every time they've won, the nation has said, but you're terrible, you're doomed.
And Spain dealing in silverware once more.
Today's guests, Apple TV lead MLS analyst Taylor Twellman, senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Kevin Fishbane, co-creator of Netflix's Unstable, actor Rob Lowe, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah, baby. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We're here live on this middle Monday of July, 2024. Appreciate everybody hanging with us here over the next 3 hours. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show to have a conversation with us and hang out with us. Three guests. Taylor Twellman will be chiming in from Lake Tahoe, where he took part in the American Century Championship. Kevin Fishbane, who covers the Bears for The Athletic, is going to join us because apparently Caleb Williams is unsigned. So we've got that going on. I'll give you my two cents on that story, if it is one. And then Rob Lowe returns to the Rich Eisen Show studio. It's been a while since we've had Rob. He's hanging on the wall in our hallway. If you've ever come hung out with us, it's a neat spot. Rob's going to be joining us on this program. It's season two of the show Unstable. He and his son are acting together in this show together. His son is going to be on this program later on this month. So John Owen will be here. Rob is here, father and son on this show on Netflix. Season two debuts on August 1st. So Rob's here in advance of that. It'll be good times. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich, I'm great, man. What's up?
Mike Del Tufo is in hiding. Good to see you over there, Jason Feller. How are you, Jay?
I'm great.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there. How are you, sir?
I'm great, man. How are you guys doing?
Candle today is lit. We're all good in this hood. Greatly appreciate it. We're live on the Roku channel. And, you know, it's kind of funny. That's how I started my day yesterday, by watching the Roku channel. You know, very, very rare moment for me where watching the Roku channel made me very sad because, you know, we love our relationship with Roku and the Roku channel.
Well, you're still torturing yourself watching the Yankees.
That's indeed. That's how my day started, watching Yankees Orioles on the Roku channel. By the way, fun broadcast. Matt Vasgersian, Jeff Nelson, who's been calling games for the YES Network this year for the Yankees, and Ben McDonald. He's outstanding. It was really a great broadcast, and it was a lot of fun. And the Yankees took a lead, top nine. Ben Rice, the young kid who had a 3-home-run game, first Yankee rookie to ever do that last week. This week, a big 3-run shot to hopefully sweep the Orioles. And go into the All-Star break that way, and then Clay Holmes put some runners on base. Those ducks on the pond scored when the Yankees defense fell apart, and that's the way that one ended.
What was Alex Verdugo doing? Have we figured that out yet?
Well, he kind of froze out there in left field. out there in left field. Yeah.
Okay, well, bad news bears.
And that's the way the day started. Then I flipped over to Fox to watch the Euro Cup final between Spain and England. And my day started with the Roku channel baseball because Carlos Alcaraz made complete short work of
very quick
Djokovic in London, three straight sets, and that was wrapped up. You know, by the time I turned the television on, that thing was toast. It was all over. And so I watched the Euros, the Euro Cup final. That was outstanding television there, where it looked like maybe we'd get extra time there. But Spain broke through towards the very end and won 2-1, and they won the cup again. And England got close again and did not win again. And
All three goals in the second half.
It was really it really was a fun watch. And then came the nightcap Copa America, where all holy heck broke loose before the game. And then the game took place late, and I was complaining to Mike Del Tufo about an audio issue on Fox. He was then texting me back, it's not his fault, which I thought, is it true or not? Because I hear that all the time.
Ready?
Correct.
Everybody was blaming Del Tufo. It was amazing.
Lionel Messi's ankle blew up. Like, you know how sometimes you watch a Major League Baseball player warm up with sort of a donut on the bat?
Yep.
That's what his ankle looked like.
So gross.
And I mean, it's just... And to see him come off the pitch and crying, ooh, seeing him come off the pitch, and when you saw that ankle blow up like that, you're like, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now I know why he just couldn't continue anymore. And then just to see somebody who's done so much and has accomplished so much, and this meant so much to him that he's crying. He's been moved to tears, really just broke my heart. And then watched a late goal in the second period of extra time before what we thought was going to be penalty kicks to decide Copa America's final. Messi did, in fact, watch his teammates pick him up, and he picked up the trophy once again and had some help holding it because, again, that right ankle looked like, can we get this man some ice? It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, you know, in Jacksonville, they couldn't get a cart for Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Well, there's no ice in Miami.
That sounds kind of crazy.
So that was my day of watching sports television beginning tonight.
It's a great day.
Morning to end.
Great sports day.
That was, and watching celebrity golf as well. The American Century.
It was fun. It came down to the last hole.
Championship. Marty Fish, our friend, who once upon a time won us all a free travel golf bag.
Travel bag I still use to this day.
At that local charity golf tournament we played in a few years ago.
Red Cross we used to play.
That's in. Right.
Also on the PGA Tour, Scottish Open, Bob McIntyre sinks, who is a Scot, drains a 20-footer to win. To beat Adam Scott, that was awesome. Was
a Scott beat a Scott. Scott on Scott violence.
Scott 1T beat Scott 2T.
Nice.
To hoist the trophy. British Open this week.
Great day.
It's great.
What a day.
Love it.
Fantastic. The only thing that I would have changed was the way the Yankees-Orioles game ended.
AL East is
getting tight.
Getting spicy.
Because Devers is putting his name into the MVP candidacy right now. You have to talk about him.
Yeah, mention it. I mean, if the Sox were somehow to win this division, he would get a sniff. But Judge is such a massive favorite to beat.
I bet. Because he's hitting more home runs right now.
Yeah. At 34 at the break.
At any rate, a home run derby tonight. All 3 hours are all set up.
Team USA just tipped off in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, is that right?
Playing Australia in the Olympic showcase.
Oh. Is that why you were so happy? TJ?
You mean just in general this morning?
No, just that there's a showcase going on right now.
See, this guy, man. By the way, I got a funny ping pong story to tell you guys from last night, but I'll wait till the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Not on your own table, because I assume it's still
boxed up.
It's speaking about that one, yeah. Someone tried to get me to donate it to him last night. Really funny. I'll tell you about it later, though.
Do you know what's happening in 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Training camps open up. At this point, 2 weeks from this day.
I just saw a video of Lamar Jackson showing up to Ravens camp.
Their veterans are reporting, and you're going back to work one by one, slowly but surely. But 2 weeks from today, all 32 training camps will be open in the National Football League. And the top stories won't be, hey, Andy Reid and Kelsey's mom are starring in some Hallmark show together for the Chiefs. Like that won't be the top stories of the NFL. Like we're not hunting and pecking. So in that regard, I'm just going to start diving in here early.
Oh,
and coming up with top five lists every single day I'm in this chair until training camps open. And I have a top five list to start this program today, just to kick things off and see if it'll light a phone line up. And if it doesn't, it's okay. I have my top five teams that can go from worst to first.
Oh.
As you know, that happens almost every year in the National Football League. By the way, I appreciate you reacting in that regard. Thank you. I am excited about it, too.
Oh. Zero the hero.
Well, I mean, there's only eight teams that can make this list, and I've whittled it down.
To five.
Yes.
Okay.
And I mean, I know who's not on the list.
And two of those three, you know Brockman's going to lose his mind that you left them off.
No, one of them is obvious that's not on the list, so it's really...
Two of them chose third overall and would have chosen first overall if they didn't trade away that pick to the Chicago Bears.
Right. Those two are out.
Right? So, we're whittling it down. It just depends on what order I put it in, right? Hit it, please.
High five. One, two, three, four, and five.
Rich's top five.
Here we go, everybody. Here we go. My top five teams that can go from worst to first. You know I'm high on this team. I've been talking about it. I'm sniffing around them as the sleeper team for my AFC... sleeper team this year. Okay? And I'm going with the Tennessee Titans here. And the only reason why they're fifth on this list is because I think the AFC South is going to be Houston's and Jacksonville's to vie for. With Houston having the pole position, and then the Colts could potentially throw their hat in this ring depending on how talented Anthony Richardson is and how he looks coming out of the gate. But folks, you can put this wide receiver room up against a ton of wide receiver rooms and it holds up as one of the best. Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, and then the running backs, Tajay Spears, who we all know has taken some reps from Derrick Henry, and Tony Pollard. And then the offensive line is going to be coached by Bill Callahan, the new coach's dad, one of the best at it. Jeffrey Simmons is a very prideful individual who came in this studio, says he's going to bring the heat and the noise. They also got Legarius Sneed in the offseason. And last week, last Friday, we didn't talk about it. They picked up Jamal Adams, the Prez, who I think has got a chip on his shoulder to prove that he still has it. Don't sleep on the Tennessee Titans, folks. Everybody keeps calling into this show to play the win-loss game, and when their team is playing the Tennessee Titans, they give their team a W.
Disrespect.
The disrespect is real. But I put the Titans...
disrespect is real.
I put the Titans fifth on this list because I don't know how close they're going to get to flip things around to be first in this division. Fourth are the Commanders. They might be my NFC sleeper team. I love your guy, DQ, TJ.
I mean, he worked wonders.
Okay. Right? And so, I know you don't believe it.
I don't get this
you
one
You don't
at all.
Believe
yeah,
it.
I really don't.
You don't believe
it. I don't. They're going to be in the top five of the draft again.
I don't know. Yeah. You might be right. But this kid, Jaden Daniels, we were talking about him at the draft. And after the draft, well, like... in the first 2 days after the draft, 3 days after the draft, he's the most pro-ready kid coming in. He's your Heisman Trophy winner. And then all of a sudden, we're just wrapped up in Caleb mania, and suddenly he's going to have a learning curve for Cliff Kingsbury. And Terry McLaurin is no slouch. I saw Austin Eckler Friday here in town at an event that Variety was holding. And he's just jacked up, man.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian Robinson Jr., just to name a few, I don't know. I put them fourth on this list. Number three, I don't know, man, but I got to put them on the list. And I just put them here at three because of my guy. I'm putting the Chargers here.
Okay.
I'm putting the Chargers here.
I thought you'd have them one, to be honest.
No. Because the Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champs, dude. That's a heck of a team to unseat. That's a big... And Jim's got to show up and do his magic, and I think he has. And you got to shut down Travis Kelce. You got to figure Jim's going to figure out 87 to bracket him. Because, honestly, other than the Spanoses, that's a guy who's owned the team. And everybody's like, who's he going to throw to? Well, maybe not as much. And maybe he'll be part of a run attack, too. I don't know. I can't wait to see what this is going to look like. But Jim's going to plus him up. And if he plus fives him to plus sevens him, if he plus sevens them to 12 wins. Number two on this list are the Bears.
The Bears.
I'm putting the Bears here. Just because that defense was top five from week seven on last year. Talked to Jalen Johnson about it on Friday's program. Check it out again on our YouTube channel if you missed it. And then, dude, that Rome Odunze may win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Ooh, he's got a shot.
He sure does. The only reason why he wouldn't, one would think, is because he's got a rookie quarterback and there's two significant veterans to feed as well.
Yeah, he's got some big-time talent around him.
No, because Caleb wins it.
Or Caleb could win it, too. Yes, you're correct, sir. Someone would think if Rome Odunze's in line to win it.
Yeah.
Caleb is pretty good.
Caleb's a reason why.
Caleb's killer.
And it's a quarterback-driven league.
But Rome has the eyes and show rub that these other guys don't have either.
Caleb doesn't know. He has to show up.
He hasn't shown up.
He's going to. Don't you worry.
Hang on.
Don't you fret. Number one on the list are the Cincinnati Bengals, guys. Joey friggin' B.
It feels like such cheating that they finished last year, right. You know?
Kinda Joey like friggin' B, man.
Kind of like when the Spurs finished last when David Robinson got hurt and then they get Tim Duncan. Like,
let me give you a name. Another name. Know what he's talking about. Chase Brown.
Fast. One of the fastest players in the league.
Brother, he'll be available in so many fantasy leagues in round two, I think. That kid is going to...
See where he's at.
He is going to fit in very nicely. He was beginning to last year, too. That's another one to just keep thinking about. And you got a ton of guys that want new contracts or upset they didn't get them. And then Joe Burrow is going to come back. And you just have to hear everything that's out of his mouth right now is, you know, there's a big chip.
He's ready.
There's a chip on his shoulder and a farmer's tan on his back from Paris.
Well, they got Zach Moss, too.
Yeah.
That's my number one worst to first team.
You think we need one more?
Sure, why not?
What?
All right, we'll get one more.
Patriots.
Nope. It's not the Panthers either. There's only one last choice.
Pew, pew. By the way.
I'm talking your language.
They should have been on the list. Honestly, they should have been like third.
Dude.
Kyler Murray could win MVP.
I know you keep saying that.
I'm not alone.
The San Francisco 49ers are in this division. They won it. The
Super Bowl hangover.
Dude.
Super Bowl loss hangover.
Guess what? If that happens, you know who could swoop right in?
The Rams.
Yeah, man. Rams.
Playoff loss hangover.
Excuse me. The Rams are really good.
Yeah.
And they're going to be better. So that's why they're the the one more here. But why not? Throw them on this list because... Again, they may be my sleeper team in the NFC as well.
Now, if you were ranking the final two, like where are those guys? Like a Pat seven, maybe?
On the clock Panthers in Green Bay, eight? Pal. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's my top five NFL teams who can go from worst to first.
Boom.
Let's take a break. We come back. Taylor Twellman, he finished eighth in the American Century Championship.
Balling.
Yeah. And then, of course, as we all know, the Euro final and the Copa America final on the same day. We haven't spoken with him since Team USA, the U.S. men's national team bounced their head coach. Lots to talk about with the Apple TV analyst extraordinaire Taylor Twellman will join us next. He's still got the soccer hair and pomade years later. We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt and even kills someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm, Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Price is higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on our program. How was San Diego? You took the kid, right?
My goodness, that city. Padres, every time Braves? You go down there, you're like, why don't I live here? It's just so beautiful. But it was great. It was great. The Padres, they kind of did some work in the outfield. They had a much bigger wiffle ball field. They kind of put in like a Tony Gwynn Hall of Fame kind of thing. Oh, so neat. They moved the wiffle ball field a little bit back. But Cage waited 45 minutes in line. All the kids were there. So many kids just hitting bombs, all the like 10, 11-year-olds. He gets up there, but you get like four or five swings. First pitch, boom, rips it up the middle, runs to first. I'm like, we waited 45 minutes for one swing.
What do you mean?
It was so funny. Usually, like, each kid kind of sits in there and hits like four or five pitches.
Oh.
Nobody runs bases. They just hit four or five, just trying to hit home runs. And
so then, didn't you send him back to home plate?
No, he literally just ran to first. He was so pumped. All the older kids were kind of dapping him up because he ripped it. And he was like the youngest kid there. And then he waited for every person to hit. And every time they hit, he would go to second. And he went station to station.
Oh, he did.
He literally went all the way around the bases.
And nobody's supposed to run the bases.
No. The bases are just out there for show. Like,
well, that's cool.
It was pretty funny. We had a good time. The Braves offense didn't show up. So
Cage had the best offensive day
Cage
of anybody.
Cage had the best night.
Anyone you were rooting for?
Anyone in a Braves uniform, Cage had the best night. But it was fun. Beautiful. God, the ballpark is just, if you've never been to San Diego, Petco.
Right.
Ah, just beautiful. Gorgeous.
So the Padres won that day?
Padres won on Saturday. Braves won yesterday.
Okay. How about you?
Fun time.
Just a TJ weekend? TJ at home weekend?
Let's see. Yeah.
You got to think about it, huh?
I actually went to the bar last night to watch the soccer game. So.
Whoa. Yeah. You all right? You feeling all right?
I should have led the show with that.
You okay? Jeez.
You left, huh?
You guys act like I'm a hermit, which I am, kind of, but I do leave. I do leave.
Can't confirm. That's some weird confirmation. I back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Lots of football to talk about with one of our favorites, fresh off a top 10 finish in Lake Tahoe from Apple TV coverage of the MLS, one of our favorites, Taylor Twellman, back here on the program. Congrats, Taylor.
Thank you, Rich. I was also top 10 for missed putts inside 15 feet, so I'm not sure I'm going to take a lot of pride in the top 10 finish, buddy, but it's all right.
Come on.
My first time doing it.
Dude,
it's good.
Dude, the one time I played there, they didn't invite me back. I literally... you may have found my replaced divot from a decade ago at some point walking past it.
It's Taylor. Weird. There is a little bit of a, there's a plaque right there. It says Rich Eisen used a shovel here. It's weird.
Used a shovel here. Exactly. All right. So let's get into it. Obviously you were on the course yesterday. I'm sure you've caught up on a few things.
All of it.
Okay. Yep. Very good. Let's start with what happened in Miami last night and leading up to the game. Who is in charge there? Best you can tell who runs the event that led to such a garbage way for people to get into the stadium?
Buddy, you and I have been living in this country. We've been doing sports a long time. I think Miami has hosted some big events, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right. So when you have less security than a Hurricanes versus Ball State football game, that tells you that Miami, the Dolphins family, Hard Rock was not in charge. From everything I can gather over the last 24 to 48 hours is that CONCACAF, the U.S. owners of these stadiums, provided the base of what CONMEBOL should have done. They chose not to do that. They chose to take the money, and it's gross. It's real gross. And Rich, I tweeted this morning because I think a lot of people are misconstruing this. It's the exact same thing that happened against England, Italy in the 2021 European Cup final. I was in the building. They blew down the gates. They came in the middle of the game. Ian Dark and I are sitting there calling the game, and people without tickets were coming into the press box sitting next to us. Whoa. And so what all the organizations need to do here, that was UEFA, and initially they came out and blamed the fans, and then UEFA studied it, and they blamed Wembley and the FA. I think the same thing's going to happen here. I do not think this is on anyone within the United States. I think this is CONMEBOL. They chose money over safety, and that is that's a real black eye on that organization, because they're going to have to own up to it in the next 12 months here.
All right, two things to follow up on. First one, so you're sitting there with Ian Dark on live television, and fans are just strolling into the press box taking a seat? Is that real?
Rich, no joke. It's the scariest I've ever felt in an environment. And obviously, all of us in the sports media world, we've read the horror stories of the hooligans back in the 80s and those awful stories, Hillsborough being one of those. Point being is that was 5 days after the mask mandate was released, and they were not prepared for just 20,000 people with no tickets bum rushing the stadium. And I looked at Ian, and I would elbow him here occasionally, and I'm pointing this way. It was as uncomfortable as I've ever felt the stadium as a player. And I've been to Boca versus River in Argentina. This was very uncomfortable. So a lot of people throwing stones at South America. I just want to remind people it happened in Europe as well.
Yeah, because that you know, reading up on everything in advance of today's show, that you know, I was reading in South America, there's a lot of fans who show up unticketed, and and thus the organizers of last night's event should have realized that in advance. And so you're saying essentially this is not a bellwether for what's going to happen during the World Cup in a couple years?
No chance. One, FIFA's already seen this, and their security is exponentially better than anything that CONMEBOL will have done in their past and in the future. Two, I think this helps the United States, Mexico, and Canada for the World Cup, because they don't want to have that look again. But anyone saying the United States can't host a World Cup, Rich, they've hosted the biggest events in the world. So don't tell me that the United States can't host this. This was 100% the United States owners, the United States stadium, the infrastructure. They all offered the proper infrastructure for this tournament. CONMEBOL chose less than what they did in 2016 when Copa America Centenario was in the exact same country. They didn't have any of this. They chose to take the money. They chose to take the bigger paycheck. And unfortunately, I think they're going to have to write a bigger check to pay for some of the damages.
Taylor Twellman here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know if your sources are impeccable. And plus, obviously,
debatable.
You know, they're impeccable. Have you been able to determine if anybody's gotten Messi some ice for his ankle, Taylor?
I've sent him a game ready. I've sent him a cold plunge. I've sent him anything he needs. And I will be flying this evening to make sure that he has a cold six-pack of Michelob Ultra right there for him so you can enjoy. Hey, truthfully, that, Rich, that ankle looks awful. Oh, that ankle looks really bad. And to see the passion in his face, the tears coming out, you know that is a serious injury. I think Inter Miami are trying to have their fingers crossed for the rest of the season here.
Yeah, obviously this is going to be a few weaker, but let's discuss that moment where Messi comes off the pitch. And he must know it's serious, and he's got to be sitting here thinking, I guess this is his Copa America final moment, right, Taylor? Was that what's going through his head there?
I think so. I do. I also think what's in his head is he's trying to do everything he can to get ready for the 26th World Cup. I know publicly he said he's 50-50. I'm telling you, from following him, watching him closely, he will play in that World Cup if he's healthy. And I think that's all the mindset of that. This is the tail end of his career. He wants to play in that World Cup. He wants to be 100% fit. He also wants to win an MLS Cup with Inter Miami in the moment. He wants to bring trophies in MLS the way David Beckham and Robbie Keane did for the Galaxy. So I just love the passion for him. He's done everything, Rich, and yet he's still worried about this moment and what he's doing for his club team and for his country. I've never seen him react that way. And I've seen some nasty challenges on Lionel Messi. I have never seen him react that way. And that's why I think that right ankle, it's a serious injury.
Well, I guess he's limping off into the sunset with Di Maria, right? For the last time on the same pitch wearing that.
That's why you're so good at what you do. Well done.
Thank you, sir. And my God, just watching Di Maria play deep into that contest last night, and then to come off when it's well, I shouldn't say it's obvious, anything can happen, but it looked like this was going to be the end of the match because of the late goal that that Argentina scored, with Martinez just being an absolute goal scoring machine for that side. What was your sense of the actual soccer that we saw last night in Miami?
It's amazing. It's amazing to think that you can bring off the leading goal scorer of the tournament off the bench. I mean, it's remarkable. And Rich, honestly, this is where I think your fan base would appreciate this. I get asked millions of times during this week in Tahoe from all the biggest names in American sports, why can't the U.S. men's national team compete? Watch Argentina-Colombia. Argentina brought three world-class superstars in their respective positions off the bench.
Deep in the deep into the contest, exactly. Too. Deep into the contest.
So, Rich, until you get to that point, you're still behind the eight ball a little bit when you're playing against the Argentinas of the world. I think for anyone that watched the game last night, it was as contested as any final you have. That is very South American. It's going to be a bloodbath. You've got to be physically up for the challenge, but mentally composed that you don't get caught up in, as I like to say, some of the baby games off the ball. But when I look at that team, Argentina, if Di Maria was healthy for the biggest finals in 14, in 16, and in 18, we're talking about a completely different history for Lionel Messi. Because if Di Maria is completely healthy, I think they win the 14 World Cup. We're talking about 2, 3, 4, 5 major trophies. He is the Robin to Messi's Batman. He was wonderful last night, and he's 36.
Few minutes left with Taylor Twellman here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just mentioned how you just saw how the Argentine national team, the Argentines, were able to just bring so many studs off the bench deep into the contest, and that is an idea as to how difficult things might be for the U.S. team to catch up. What about Spain throwing a 17-year-old kid out there barely 2 days into being 17? How remarkable is Yamal, Taylor? Can you walk me through how we can see this? I mean, my son is about to turn 16, and my wife and I are wondering how we're going to get him a learner's permit. You know what I mean? For real. It's crazy.
Rich, I think about when I was 16, calling a girl's house to try to talk to a girl, and the older brother, the dad answers, and I'm just like, kind of need to change my underwear, and this guy's playing in the European Cup final. So it's very difficult to try to grasp. Here's what I'll say, and I believe in positive energy and manifestation.
Sure.
To think that he and his parents took him to Barcelona, took a picture with Lionel Messi when he was 4 months old, and that picture has been floating around the internet, and his parents saying to Messi and anyone that want to listen, my son's going to play for Barcelona one day. And I love that story more than anything. And the reason why is because when you watch him play, he is not overwhelmed. He is completely in the moment. He's completely in the essence of the competition. He's scoring an unbelievable goal in the semifinal. And then the final comes and he's completely content on who he is. He's 17. He recently just 16 scoring goals. So the point being, Rich, Spain, the last 20 years, 3 European championships, a World Cup. They've won 10 of the last 20 Champions Leagues. They've won a Women's World Cup. And I'd argue they've completely changed the way you've looked at the game. I'm not going to sit here and pump my chest up, but I am going to tell you, before the tournament started, I chose Spain. And the biggest reason why is that golden generation was done. And so these 17-year-old kids that grew up watching arguably the greatest national team of the world, 2008 to 2012, Spanish national team that won 2 Euros and a World Cup, they were all gone. So now they had a chip on their shoulder, but they're playing different. Yamal's different. He's got a verticality to his game. They're not a thousand passes to death, knocking it around, ticky-tacky. They can play a little bit more explosive. They were as good of a team as I've watched, and I'm not sure you're ever going to see another team go to Euros, play seven games, and win all seven.
What are the English thinking today?
This is just what the English do, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well, I guess they would have lost in penalty kicks if you really want to go the ultimate here, as opposed to giving up a late goal after getting the equalizer out of nowhere. But, you know.
Rich, it's a great question. Think about it. Wayne Rooney, John Terry, Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, that Paul Scholes, that golden generation, they never made a final. What is this? Three finals? I lost four major tournaments, or at least some, whatever it is. Gareth Southgate has been criticized for being boring. I've been one of those, but he's been effective. But that picture you're showing right there, Harry Kane's been in some massive games. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's six finals in his career. Zero goals, zero assists. He has more yellow cards than shots on goal. And that's difficult because any goal scorer will tell you, me being one of them, when you get to that game, do you have the extra 5%, 10% that moment? I think Harry Kane has been a fantastic player, but I think the English media is always going to look at him and say, in the biggest games, where was he? And I think that's unfortunate, but I think that's also part of the Gareth Southgate system of kind of playing a little reserved versus trying to blow the doors off the thing and trying to win the game 3-2 or 2-1.
I'd love to see Argentina play Spain now, but that's called a World Cup, right? So what if they did play one another, and let's say Messi's ankle didn't look like it had a softball in the middle of it, who would win?
I like Spain. I just think you give them an extra 18 months before this World Cup comes, buddy. I just listen, if they played tomorrow and everyone was fit, I think Argentina would try to make it a very ugly game. And I think it's difficult. Spain technically is just superior to any other team in the world, and they understand their identity. Make no mistake about it. They've got a couple weaknesses. Defending in transitions, one of them, where Argentina thrives. I just love the way Spain played. Again, seven Euro games, they won all seven. There's no draws in there. There's no slippy, weird moments. They were definitive, and they blew the doors off the thing. And I just think in 2 years from now, they could come to the United States and win the World Cup.
Yeah, Yamal might be shaving by then. do you want to take your 2 cents before I let you go on the U.S. men's national team firing Greg Berhalter and your thoughts on that and what should happen next?
I'm glad there was a sign of accountability, Rich. I think you got to send it to your fans. You got to send it to your players. But most importantly, you got to send it to the sponsors and to the people that are going to be behind this thing in 18, 20 months when the World Cup is here. My concern is, what do you do now? And I've said this and I'm going to stay on this. You go get the biggest, most experienced name you can get right now. You offer him 20 months. I don't need you to worry about anything other than the World Cup. Get this group of players ready to play, and we will worry about 5, 10, 15 years down the road. That's got to be an experienced name. It's got to be someone from the international cloth. It cannot be a United States American, because right now, in the United States American, I don't have anyone that has the international experience managing the game. I'm not talking about players. I'm talking about managing the game. I also want my young American coaches right now, Rich, that I think have a real shot at doing this. Allow them to grow. Steve Cherundolo has barely been a manager for 3 years. Pat Noonan's barely been a manager for 3 years. Let them grow. Give them time to really figure out who they are. But go get a big name. And the other one, Rich, I want someone when the light's on, the camera's on, they take the attention away from this golden generation of players. You know what I mean? Take the attention away from Pulisic, McKennie, Adams, and all these guys, and put the attention on them and really get the guys ready to go in 20 months. And I think they can, but I'm still holding out that they're not going to be able to pull off the biggest name they can on the international market.
Well, Klopp already said no, right? So who would you, if or you just got to, I'm just looking at
I would
your
go
face.
Down the line. What do you I got? Would go down the line. I would say, okay, Klopp, are you 100% no? Because if it's 95% and you want to come in January of 2025, then I can make that work. If it's no, it's no. I'm calling Jose Mourinho. What is it? What do you want to do? Because Jose Mourinho in Turkey has an out clause January 1, 2025. I'm talking to everybody. And Rich, I've taken some criticism from U.S. soccer fans on this, but I still believe talk to 100 people if you need to. Just talk to people, see who they are. But you can't waste 14 months the way you did after the 22 World Cup to then rehire Greg Berhalter. This process should have been done then. So now you're here. You gotta expedite it. You gotta be quick. But go talk to everybody. There's one name that I've said from the beginning that has a real interest in this, and that's Patrick Vieira. He won a World Cup as a player. He loves the American player, but he also walks into that room and every single player's tail is going to be between their legs because he doesn't hold back on anyone. So if that's the guy I got to go get it. But I'm talking to everybody and I'm talking to everybody within 48 hours.
As close to Roy Kent as you can get is what it sounds like right there. You know,
call Roy, see what he's doing.
I don't know if
you know what, Rich, you want a good one?
Yeah,
they should just bring back as an interim coach, Bill Belichick, have him stand on the sideline, throw a headset on and just to piss off everybody else in the international world and say, here's what we're doing.
You just gave Chris, you're so happy. He thinks that
last week
he and Saban should be co-head coaches like the, you know, like Nick and Bill Lasso.
Guaranteed.
Just do it.
You know,
would you imagine they did the three friendlies? They win all three friendlies, 9-0 combined score. Yes. And all they did was sit on the headset and talk to each other on the sideline.
Matt Patricia would be awesome, too. You know,
no, like, think about him away. No. You guys. No. That pencil behind the ear. What are you writing down? Get rid of that now.
He's in the Northeast. He knows the whole drill for sure.
No, miss me with Patricia, dude.
Next up, LAFC, Real Salt Lake. Wednesday night, both teams tied atop the Western Conference standings. You got that for Apple TV. You're back in the mix. Ready to go?
Yep, I'm leaving Tahoe, dropping the kids off in Boston, taking the red eye, and then going right back to L.A. It should
awesome.
Be a good one.
Awesome,
big
man.
One.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time here. And again, congrats. That is no slouch, man, finishing eighth at this tournament. I don't know if people told you, but I was watching the final holes, and the announcers were saying, you've got the stuff to win this thing. One day. They literally said that.
I do, but that means Marty Fish has to not show up. If Marty doesn't show up, Rich, I got a shot.
I hear you, man. He did look great. Taylor, thanks for the time. Safe flight crisscrossing the country. Always love your passion, your knowledge, and friendship. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, brother, man. Good seeing you.
Taylor Twellman, everybody, check him out on Apple TV Wednesday night, LAFC and Real Salt Lake back at it with the MLS season right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Okay, let's take a break. I've got a couple more cents to give about what happened last night at Hard Rock in South Florida, and then we'll get you set for hour number two, Overreaction Monday, and a chat on the Chicago Bears and what is going on with their quarterback's contract. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
Put your hands together for the most recent Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray of Oklahoma. Where is that trophy right now?
I sleep next to it.
It's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
So it's good morning Heisman every day?
Yeah, type.
Seriously, it's right there next to, like, there's a night table next to Kyler Murray's bed and the Heisman Trophy's resting.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've had it in your arms, like you've been spooning with it?
No, there's no spooning.
There's no Heisman spooning? No. By the way, I would absolutely spoon with the Heisman if I won the Heisman. Now taking part in the Rich Eisen Show Throw Challenge, Kyler Murray, is this the first NFL Duke ball that you have thrown? That's an NFL. Oh, my God. You won't even answer that.
Wow.
Go for it, Kyler. Go for it. That's one. First one. There we go. That's two.
Kyler Murray. Everybody.
Three. By the way. That's four. Those are all Duke NFL footballs. Just wanted everyone to know that.
First overall pick. First overall
pick. That's four. That's five.
Wow.
These are the footballs Kurt Warner complained about. That's six. That's seven.
Whoa.
That's it. Oh, my goodness. Here, let's get some.
No.
Here we go. Keep going.
I'm off.
You got one more?
Hold on, this is getting bad.
Here we go. No, yeah, it's getting bad. You got seven for first seven. Good enough. Seven out of ten. Kyler Murray.
Good to see you, man.
Congratulations. He won the Heisman and it seems the Rich Eisen throwing contest in the same year. That's a first. No one could ever take that away from you.
Ah, yes. 5 years later, we're still talking about it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Here we are, everybody. Listen, I've been to Super Bowls at Hard Rock in South Florida. And when I saw the scene outside of Copa America and saw the rushing of the gates, and then the one that really got me was seeing fans gaining access to the field like they were John McClane in Nakatomi Plaza, like just crawling into the
what?
Into the vents.
Like Tom Cruise. Like,
honestly.
Impossible. Dun,
dun, dun, I mean, look at that. I like, first of all, how do you gain access to that area and then decide we're going to go in through the vents?
Yeah, and how do you know where that leads to?
Good question.
Like, do you have a blueprint? Like,
good question.
Schematics.
And so I placed the blame. Obviously, I was also wondering, you know, why would so many people show up without tickets? Right. And now that's a naive way to say, or just an honest way of saying I'm unfamiliar with this phenomenon that Taylor Twellman just mentioned isn't just a phenomenon to South America soccer clubs and fans, that people just show up without tickets and try and get in the stadium and en masse. Said that happened at the Euro Cup final a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, because it's not just like downtown Miami. You've got to really get on. You got to get in the car and you got to get out there, or you got to take public transpo way out. It's not just like hanging. It's not like, again, like Wrigleyville, where it's just right in the middle of a very large population area. But just to the point of here, why it is on the individuals that were running this tournament. And I don't know if there was any pushback from those who know better at Hard Rock. But if you go to a Super Bowl, when you go to a Super Bowl in South Florida or anywhere else, there are multiple checkpoints. You can't get within a quarter mile of the gate to enter the stadium unless you have a ticket. There are multiple checkpoints. Basically, if you're dropped off in the parking lot, immediately you've got to go through a metal detector area and show your ticket there. And then once you're through that, you've got to show your ticket again. Then you got to show your ticket a third time in some places. Yep. Where the hell was that yesterday? I mean, it was as if it was Dolphins Panthers week two. Just stroll on up. What an absolute abomination. And I think somebody or some class action is going to make whatever was going down at the Super Bowl in the Jones Mahal years ago look like child's play. You know, I'm seeing people who are like holding up their tickets that they spent thousands of dollars to
$2,000 ticket.
Well, not just buy the ticket, but to get to South Florida. Yeah. They couldn't gain access. They couldn't get in. Because at one point, they're like, just let's let everyone in because it was so dangerous on the other side of the closed gate. How the hell does that happen?
They underestimated the power of soccer.
Well, it's not just that they underestimated. I don't know. They completely whiffed on the other perimeters that need to be had for a major sporting event. This is a Copa America final. Whole world's watching. Certainly multiple hemispheres are watching. And Taylor Twellman just came on the show and laid it completely at the feet at CONMEBOL, which runs Copa America.
And it's the passionate fan bases. It's Colombia and Argentina that are just so popular, not just in their own countries, but South Florida and worldwide.
Now, obviously, the fans need to come and behave. I mean, you saw some of them were throwing like popcorn all over the place, and just I saw a footage of an escalator being demolished,
destroyed.
What the hell? So, you know, obviously there's a lot of blame to go around, but the bottom line is, I can't believe it's like security 101 for a massive event. Certainly if it's an event where fan bases have been known to show up unticketed to try and gain access. And we just saw what happened, you know, after Colombia, Uruguay up in the stands. Like, how do you not come prepared in a stadium that has been shut down for the Super Bowl and big events like that before? Multiple checkpoints push the perimeter out. Thus, the perimeter doesn't start at the turnstile. I couldn't believe that. Did they have a halftime show for the Euro Cup final? I don't think they did, right? They just treated it just like any other?
But the Copa America halftime show.
They put Shakira up there.
Oh, baby. Cage was locked in.
He wasn't the only one.
Well, the Colombian coach apparently wasn't happy about it because it pushed.
It was like 25 minutes. It was so long.
It was so long.
Yeah. Worth every second.
Let me tell you who wasn't complaining about that. Me and Cage.
Boom!
Shakira.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, man.
She did one song completely in Spanish, Brazil. What is her native tongue? It was phenomenal.
She's from Colombia.
Colombian. What are they speaking? Colombian?
No, it's this guy.
Oh, anyway, it was amazing. I didn't know what she was saying, but I was glued. Dude, I was locked in.
He's just
I didn't even blink.
Spanish, Chris.
She speaks, and she's fluent in hips not lying.
Let me tell you something. Them hips, they never told a tale, a false
you guys,
tale.
That was just that was absurd.
Was there a game played last night?
I know, right? Very good. All right. That'll wrap up our number one's coverage. But it's just, you know, CONMEBOL. Multiple layers of perimeter. Simple. They know how to do it in South Florida. One other thing to get ready. Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic, who covers the Bears, will be joining us shortly. Caleb Williams let it slip at his at a charity event. Or was he asked? I don't know. Straight up? Yeah, I don't have a contract. But he's not in charge of that. He's not handling that.
I was shocked to hear that, weren't you?
My lawyers and attorney and everybody, the head of the Bears, everybody up there up top is handling that. That's not my position that I'm handling.
So is it all about the offset and all the others?
Who the hell knows?
Like, what's the holdup?
I don't know.
Number one pick. You're slotted. We know what you're getting.
Well, yeah. Well, and then there's got to be some language that I don't know. Here's my guess. It won't amount to anything. This will get done.
He's waiting on his 0.1% of Bears ownership?
I don't know, right? the side deal that everyone thinks is going to happen, right?
You know,
by the way, the Pirates need to make one of those deals with Paul Skeens. Do anything you can to keep that guy in Pittsburgh.
Well, they got him for at least, what, 3 more years?
At least.
That'll look great in pinstripes.
That's the sad thing. Yep. Well, I mean, look, I'd love to have him on the Mets, but the Pirates need to really keep him.
He turned it on you.
I know that.
Yeah.
Well, he's got the owner that just says, I don't care.
Yeah.
Your owners care a lot now, apparently.
Apparently so. Listen, same with you.
Who cares less about winning, the Steinbrenners or the Fenway Group?
All I know is it helps to have Bobby Axelrod on your team.
Yeah. For real.
Although he swears it's not him. Same thing with the billions writers.
Yeah, right.
Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic to tell us what's up in Chicago with Overreaction Monday after that.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast from season 4. I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.